106 FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings. Sean Sullivan, Dalton Norwig, Dr. Bill Williams-Kane with our traffic on the way. And we continue to get y'all's text and emails here as we do. This will be the third year of it. We open up our Alabamian of the Year competition. Now, you know, Time has their thing, the person of the year, whatever.
They awarded it this morning.
Yes, which I called that one.
You did, yeah, yesterday when we were talking
about it. Checks all the boxes, or most of the boxes, for Time, for Thunberg.
Yeah, before they even put out their five finalists.
Which Thunberg, or however you pronounce it.
Yeah, Pelosi, Trump, the whistleblower, Thunberg, and the Hong Kong protesters. But before they even had those finalists, you called it yesterday, Greta Thunberg.
Yeah, so she went. So what we do back here at home and is we let you nominate, once again, the person, place, thing, group, critters, animals are very popular in this, that has most influenced the news cycle and we the people of Alabama in 2019. Now, it could be positive, but it also could be negative. We had to keep reminding folks when we do this, if you're new to it, because a lot of times people suggest like just a popularity contest. It's not, you can have something that's positive, and that's good. I like that. But you're voting on the thing that has most influenced the state in 2019. Mm-hmm. So it could be a person, it could be a thing. There's a lot of, from the political ranks out there, there's a lot of wacky stories out there that have been suggested so far. I would say a person that influences the state, because number one, he writes about the state of Alabama, does a radio show about the state of Alabama, and I think pretty sure he has been to every county in the state of Alabama. That's our buddy Jeff Poor from Lanyap, Breitbart, Yellowhammer News, at the Jeff Poor Show on WVNN in Huntsville. Yeah, have you been to all 67?
Multiple times.
So not only been there once, he's gone back and doubled up on that. A lot to talk about. We'll talk about some state news in a second, but before we go any further, let's talk about yesterday in Washington, articles of impeachment. You know, I wasn't surprised it happened. What about you? What about the timeline?
I think the timeline's kind of curious, only because they announced USMCA on the same day.
Mm-hmm.
So that gave them cover, I think, to go ahead and do that and do the articles of impeachment, because everybody will be like, oh, wow, it's history in the making, blah, 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 blah. So that's, you know, other than that, we knew it was going to come in this window of time at some point. Just wasn't exactly sure when, and they know that they got to get this done before the new year. It's just maybe a little maybe a few days early than I think a lot of people had on their calendars.
Now, it's interesting to think about. You know, a lot of people are saying, "Wait, you got Speaker Pelosi talking about signing this USMCA? That's a signature piece of legislation for President Trump." So maybe what the cover for the Democrats is, so people don't pay attention that they signed on with what the president wanted. At the same time, they moved the articles of impeachment. Is that the cover like that? Cover for the good thing?
I think absolutely, because if it's just that in the news and Donald Trump gets a win, he gets to call it a win. They don't want that. The timing of this had to be during the holidays. This traditionally is a slow time for politics. The only thing I would question about the timing of it, if indeed this is meant to exact some kind of pound of flesh, if indeed this is to put yourself in a better place as Democrats for the 2020 election, why is the impeachment stuff happening right now?
Jeff, the House charged the president with two articles of impeachment, abuse of power and obstruction of Congress. What happened to the bribery charge?
I think it's part of the abuse of power.
Okay.
Yeah, that's incorporated into that.
Okay, so this is the one, this is kind of getting down to the meat of it. And you can go through the web, you can look for experts, and you're going to get multiple opinions. Do those charges, are those high crimes or misdemeanors? I mean, by definition, is it so open that anything can be a high crime or misdemeanor, or is there some specific?
Yeah, I would say this. We could pontificate about all that all we want. I think it's whoever's in charge of Congress gets to say it is, because that's exactly what's happening now. That's the new precedent. High crimes and misdemeanors are whatever the House of Representatives say they are. And there's a lot of people that disagree with that. I think in theory they're probably right, but in practice they're wrong.
Well, now the trial moves to the Republican-controlled Senate, and I think a lot of people assumed that the Republicans would take advantage of this and call as many witnesses to the stand as they could, the witnesses that they could control, maybe even Hunter Biden. But I was reading yesterday, they may not call any witnesses at all and just get through this as quick as possible.
That seems to be the McConnell side of this, that they want this wrapped up almost immediately. I've heard a few members of the Senate in it that seems to be a division between the White House and Mitch McConnell and the leadership in the Senate. They're not going to use this politically, and I think Trump and his White House administration want the Senate to call some of these witnesses and inflict some pain on Democrats.
And what about that timeline thing? I mean, people have talked about, well, this keeps those Democrats off the campaign trail. Is that significant, or is that just a talking point?
I think it's pretty significant, especially Iowa and New Hampshire. Look at the polls and who's doing well there. Now, the theory is, if there's a lot of people that wouldn't be very happy with Bernie Sanders as a Democratic nominee. I think it would maybe impact him a lot. Warren's starting to fade. If you look at Iowa, New Hampshire right now, you know who the leader is?
Buttigieg, right?
Yeah, in both of those states. So, who's not in the Senate? Among the front runners, who is not involved in this impeachment by virtue of being in the Senate or by having a son that was involved? It's Peter Buttigieg. And so, there may be a fear for Democrats there. But if you're Mitch McConnell or you're any other Republican and you're looking at it, then it's right. Then maybe this is the way you'd want things to play out.
So how long does this take in the Senate?
Based on what we think, I would say wrap it up a month, month and a half.
I mean, this just so. I mean, how many hours did you say yesterday there was of
over 100 hours of testimony?
So what do you think for the Senate? Are we looking at another 100 hours of testimony?
It depends on who they call.
Yeah.
It depends on who McConnell allows them to call. I think it's wide open right now, and McConnell showed a little bit of his hand that he acknowledges he's not going to move to dismiss immediately, that there will be a trial, but it doesn't seem like he wants to prolong it.
All right. Let's move here to the Times Person of the Year. We mentioned that at the beginning here. Were you surprised at Thunberg?
No, not at all. You go through that whole issue, and it's like Lizzo, it's like the U.S. Women's National Soccer Team, and it's the whistleblower and other bureaucrats that they're heralding. There's no qualms about it that it is time is a. Yeah, they favor left-of-center media, or they left-of-center types, I should say.
But you can look at what has moved the needle most. Trying to be a fair arbiter here, one of their finalists, I thought, was the Chinese protest, the Hong Kong protesters. I thought that, I mean, to me, I said, that embodies what Person of the Year, that one I thought was going to, I knew it was going to be Thunberg, but if I was judging, I think it would have been the protesters.
I mean, what has she done other than get in front of the United Nations and yell? So if we're applying the Sean Sullivan standard for Person of the Year of Alabama, maybe she's in the mix, but there's been way more going on on this globe than her sailing across the Atlantic Ocean, I would think. Maybe it's Vladimir Putin, or maybe it's, like you said, something going on in China, the Hong Kong protesters. I'm not sure what the global implications of that are, but they certainly seem more significant than Greta Thunberg.
Yeah, even the whistleblower, Pelosi or Trump, I mean, that's dominated the news cycle for months now. But to me, looking at the cover, the newest cover of the Time Person of the Year magazine, which they already had ready to roll with the announcement this morning, I think they're using her as the face of youth activism. And so it's not really a vote for Thunberg as Person of the Year as much as it is youth activism.
Yeah, every generation has their youth movement. You know, the Gen Xers, the Millennials. Does this ever move the needle? It's all in this country, at least. Does the youth move the needle as much as we're led to believe by stunts like this?
Can you get away with saying, you know, the youths, the kids, are lazy and apathetic? at the same time, you talk about the youth movement being the person of the year.
I mean, they don't vote. They have a lower voting percentage than everyone else. I mean, there's all kinds of things demographically that you could show that this is a fallacy.
Coming right back. More with Jeff Poore. We're going to talk about the polling data came out for Jeff Sessions with a big lead over, we're talking about a significant lead over Tommy Tuberville and a very significant lead over Bradley Byrne. Now, that is one poll. Is there much to make of one poll? We'll get Jeff's take on that and talk about the Senate race when we come back. Right, 822 FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings on this Wednesday. Glad to have you here. This segment of the show brought to you by 1-800-GOT-JUNK. It's my buddy Trey Bennett. Now, here's the formula. It's pretty complicated. You have junk and you want it to go away. Trey wants to help you. There you go. That's how it works.
That's easy.
Yeah, it's that easy. It could be at your home. Could be at a business. Storage units. Hey, you know, it's going to be New Year's resolution time soon. And people are like, I'm getting rid of that, all this junk. And listen, if cleaning up and organizing and all that is on your list for 2020, well, get a jump on it with 1-800-GOT-JUNK and get the junk gone. It could be something up the creaky attic ladder stair thing. It could be something in the backyard. I mean, it could be something big, swing sets, whatever. You got junk at your office you need gone. You got that storage unit you don't want to pay for anymore because you don't need to keep all that junk. Call 1-800-GOT-JUNK or go online to 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com and they'll make an appointment with you. Actual day and time. You'll find a time that works for you and them. And they'll come out, quote you a price, and if you say yes, they get to work and get it done very efficiently. 1-800-GOT-JUNK online at 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com. All right, let's continue our conversation with Jeff Poore. And Jeff, back here at home, it's the Senate race here as John Merrill is out, and then we get some polling from the Sessions campaign that shows him with a big lead.
Yeah, I don't know how much I would read into this poll. Sessions 44, Tuberville 21, Byrne 14, Roy Moore 7, and Arnold Mooney, and the hillbilly from Haleyville at 1%. I mean, this internal poll, so what does it tell you? What I'm more interested in is the alpha poll that came out yesterday as well. Jeff Sessions at 35, Tuberville at 31, Byrne at 12, Moore at 8, and then the rest 1%. What does that tell you? We'll preface this. The farmers endorse Tuberville
right,
as well. So it's probably somewhere in between. It's probably Sessions up by 8 or 9 points. It's not enough to get him to a without a runoff, but I think the internal they released kind of tells you where the campaign is, because here's the way you could tell. None of the other campaigns are really releasing any internal polls,
right?
So they're obviously not getting something they like from them.
Isn't this also about money right now? As much as votes, or maybe more than votes, that you try to disincentivize. If you can show yourself out there, you disincentivize people to donate to other candidates, because, you know, that's going to be like, why would you waste your money?
Well, true, yeah, and that may be part of it, but I don't think Jeff Sessions is having a whole lot of problems raising money. I don't, you know, how much he's going to do with it. Tuberville having big time problems raising money, really. Really big time problems raising money. That's what you need to watch. I think this will be decided if we're going to assume that we get to that runoff, a 4-week sprint from the March the 4th until April there for that runoff, and it's Tommy Tuberville and Jeff Sessions. Jeff Sessions has all the cash. He'll just buy his way at every media market.
Yeah, well, it's not just that you know, I'm thinking that Jeff Sessions wants the people to stop donating to other candidates so they donate to him, just to stop donating to the other candidates, right? That like you said, Tuberville having fundraising problems, it slows them all down. I mean, he's got enough of a war chest. He's good. He just needs to shut down the fundraising for the competition.
Or perhaps, you know, I like to think of this. Jeff Sessions is essentially an incumbent. He served as a U.S. senator for 2 decades. People know who he is. This electorate that's polled in both of these surveys know who Jeff Sessions is. He has a track record, yet only 44 and 35% respectively are wanting him to go back to the United States Senate, which is a problem. I mean, given that, what happens when you start having candidates bow out and you have a runoff situation? Then do you You know, does support from other candidates coalesce behind one or the other? Or are people kind of the opinion that maybe we need somebody different? And then you can look at this that way. I wonder if how many people are like, well, Jeff Sessions is my number two. I think that's a better question. Mm-hmm.
It was interesting, the further down the list there in that poll that came out, the one the Sessions campaign put out, looking at the number of people who for sure would vote for these candidates and then might, you know, and all the other candidates had, you know, some degree of people that might, a percent or two or 5 or 6 or 7% that might. Except for Roy Moore. Did you see that? That was the only column that was 7%. It was, I mean, they were in. There was no maybe. It was like we always said, that cement is dry.
Yeah, people know who Roy Moore is. He's high name ID, but he's got very high unfavorables. The problem with Roy Moore is, maybe pre-Sessions he had an outside chance of getting in that runoff. But right now he just takes votes away from somebody. And I kind of wonder, if you take away Roy Moore and you take him out of this, who do his votes go? And I don't think they go to Sessions necessarily. Maybe some do, but 7%. I mean, you start putting these numbers together, and you give Sessions a run for his money, according to his internal poll. According to it's only 8% up for grabs. But the other thing about Roy Moore, hasn't done a whole lot. He spoke into Scholes on Saturday. I think that was like his fourth or fifth official campaign appearance of the cycle. And how many official appearances do you think these other candidates have had? I mean, just Bradley Byrne, maybe hundreds, you know?
Right.
So how serious is he? Is he just running to run? Is there going to be even a debate at this point? Those are some questions you got to think about.
And does Roy Moore stay through the primary? If he's looking at some of these numbers, do you expect him to maybe drop out?
Nah, he ain't dropping out.
I'm with Jeff on that.
He's paid his money. He's in it till the end.
And it would be interesting for a second to think about if he did, for some reason, where those Roy Moore votes would go to. Let me say this, that Roy Moore has been the subject of the scorn of President Trump as well. You know what I'm saying? So it's there's, if you remember back during the special, the president wasn't happy with Roy Moore at some points. He didn't come out and attack him. But, I mean, in the primary thing, he was not on board for Roy Moore. So you could say there's somewhat of a kinship maybe to supporters from Roy Moore that might switch to Sessions.
Well, here's something to think about. Let's say tonight Donald Trump's on his Twitter machine and he says, I'm giving my support to any of these candidates. So let's say it's Bradley Byrne and he's down there at 14% or 12% depending on the poll. And he says no one else is fit to serve. How much does that count? How much does that give to Bradley Byrne? It maybe puts him neck and neck with Tommy Tuberville at most, but it doesn't swing an election for him. I think what it's going to take to knock Sessions down some is Donald Trump going after Jeff Sessions. That is something that is what these candidates probably need to get him down, and there's just no indication right now that he's going to do that.
All right, just a minute left here. You're taking your show on the road to Montgomery. I know at the end of this week we've got the Bicentennial Celebration going on Saturday. This is the big party for our state.
Big party for the state. There's a parade on Saturday. There's Condoleezza Rice on Friday night at a big reception. There's a bunch of other things surrounding it, a bunch of other activities. So this is the culmination of the whole year of 200 years of Alabama.
All right. So keep it under control. Keep those politicos there in Montgomery under control, please.
It'll be a lot of business card swapping, a lot of handshaking. It's going to be the biggest network event, political networking event you've ever seen, guys.
Well, it is getting ready to be, of course, right on the front doorstep of Session 2020. Next week when we talk, hopefully we could dive into that because there's so much I want to ask you about that.
All right. Sounds good, man.
Tell folks how they can find you online.
Twitter.com/Jeff_Poor.
And where they'll see the picture of snow, right?
Yes, it's still down here. The schools have been canceled, and it's people, no bread and milk. It's pandemonium.
Shelter in place. Be safe, my friend. Be safe.
Thank you for those kind words.
It's Jeff Poor. Coming right back.
837 on FM Talk 106.5. This is Mobile Mornings. Let's talk with Mitch McConnell from McConnell Automotive. Hey, Mitch.
All right, Don. Good morning, buddy.
Hey, same to you. Tell us about the great deals we can get right now at McConnell.
Well, Don, you know, one of the things we always pride ourselves on is being a no-hassle dealership, and I think there's people out there listening that probably felt like anything but that happened the last time they shopped for a car. So, man, you know, we talked off air, Dalton. We have this December upgrade sale, and if anybody looking for a new vehicle needs to check it out, you know, it's lasting all month. So we want you to hurry just because the pick of the litter is out there. But the Yukon and the Trucker are two of my favorite examples, man. With the biggest discount we've ever had off of Yukon, Dalton, the GMC has been 12%. Well, right now for this Christmas deal, we've got 15. So it's an example of over 12 grand off the sticker price. And, you know, if you shop McConnell, you know, we never add anything to our prices, don't we? Always shoot people straight. Most money for their trade-ins, lowest payments. But we got 20% off the truck, 20% off the little Encore SUV. So all people got to do, buddy, is go to our website or come see us. And McConnellAutomotive.com is where to check them out.
That's some huge deals there, Mitch. We appreciate it.
Man, y'all have a great Wednesday, Dalton.
That's Mitch McConnell. Go see him and the crew at McConnell Automotive on Dolphin Street, just east of I-65.
All right, phone number 343-0106, 343-0106. Still getting your suggestions for Alabamian of the Year 2019. Now, Time Magazine does their thing where they have their, you know, person of the year.
Mm-hmm.
They're not copying us as much as we're copying them. That's right.
No.
So for the year three of this Alabamian of the Year, but it is the person, place, thing, group, event that most has dictated Alabama's what happened in Alabama. So it can be, what I'm getting at is, it doesn't always have to be positive. When we first launched this, it turned into like a popularity contest, like so-and-so is a great person. It's not just who's a great person.
Right.
It's that thing that is most, like Time Magazine has done the youth movement and Thunberg and all that. To them, that has been the biggest thing for the planet in 2019. To me, I might think the Hong Kong protesters might be, but so this is why you can suggest that thing, person, place, event, animal, whatever, that is most, like High Step and Turkeys won last year, and that's very legitimate that they were the most influence on the state.
And you know, Time, I don't think they allow their readers to vote on this. I think that Time just kind of chooses.
Yeah, they have this editorial board of people with tweed jackets with little suede arm elbow patches on there.
Yeah, and apparently with Greta Thunberg wallpapers on their computers.
That's
too,
right.
Because they're so in love with her. But we actually allow the listeners to vote and choose this. So we do it bracket style every year, just like March Madness. And so we'll get all the nominations now through the end of the weekend. And then on Monday, you can go over to fmtalk1065.com. We'll have the first part of the bracket voting challenge there. And I've seen some good nominations already today. We're getting a lot of people. I can kind of already tell who's going to rise to the top here.
Mm-hmm.
We've seen a lot of Bruce Pearl nominations. Also, what's his name? Hoyt something? But the
guy that slashed the Trump balloon.
Yeah, at the Alabama LSU game, the Alabama fan who slashed the Trump balloon. Also, lots of nominees, lots of people nominating the meth squirrel. I still don't know if I can say his name on the radio, the meth squirrel's name, Deez. First name Deez.
Right.
But remember from Athens, the meth squirrel.
The child of Mr. and Mrs. Nuts.
That's correct. So we've had a lot of really good nominees already and hope to see more.
Yeah, I see like Monty and some others have done. And Monty, yes, he's asking if it was already on the list, but it was, but I appreciate your contribution. It was the first thing I put on my list, State Auditor Jim Ziegler. Now, we do have some questions like... this is where we get into the work, the heavy lifting of the Alabamian of the Year. Is Jim Ziegler, State Auditor Jim Ziegler, and the tolls, is that one entry?
I think it'd have to be.
Or is State Auditor Jim Ziegler an entry and the tolls a separate? Y'all, let's debate that one for a second. Because I think those two or that one are very, very strong in the Politico category.
Yeah.
Right? So is that, this is the stuff we have to worry about. So we know that story is a very big one for our state. Not just down here. It got state attention. So is State Auditor Jim Ziegler an individual entry and tolling an individual entry, or are they combined? Are they joined?
Well, let's just say those two end up facing each other in the final. Then you're basically voting on the same thing, because this year Jim Ziegler came to represent the anti-toll movement.
True.
And
would you have to put them in the same maybe the same bracket, so you one gets knocked out, so you don't have them at the end. Because you're saying it's the same.
Honestly, I think we've got so many nominations already that we're going to have a pretty full board. I think we're going to have to narrow this down. Should it be the just the anti-toll movement as a whole, or Jim Ziegler? I think that Jim Ziegler, to me, he represents the anti-toll. And there were other people that were in on this, of course. But when you think of one name that was kind of leading the anti-toll brigade, it would have to go to Jim Ziegler.
Yeah, but I would argue also. Okay, let's talk about this. Let's make it more confusing because that's what we do here. Dane Haygood, so Mayor Dane Haygood, with that vote for the Eastern Shore Planning Organization, which essentially was the death knell for this tolling movement.
Mm.
So I could say he's as important, even though you can argue that Jim Ziegler organized the Facebook page and brought people together. Although I want to point out that he did do that, but we've been talking about this for years
on this show and
on this station. We had 2 years ago Congressman Bradley Byrne say they're going to toll this thing. He said it back in January of this year. We had the two Aldot people on the show that what I thought we broke the news.
Yeah.
That there was going to be tolling in place on the Wallace Tunnel. So it's been going on longer than when that Facebook page started, but credit is due to State Auditor Jim Ziegler for getting that move. But then why not Dane Haygood? Why not other people that voted, Mobile voted to table it, remember? Mm-hmm. And it was Eastern Shore's vote that shut it down. So there are other that's why I get into this and go, okay, do you just make it, and I understand for expediency, you make it, the vehicle is Jim Ziegler on 10 tolls. But then I can argue there are other players in this.
Mm-hmm.
Well, State Senator Chris Elliott, you could involve that. See what I'm saying? There are other players in the toll issue.
Well, yeah. And so you and I are on kind of opposite sides on this specific.
Because you're wrong. Yeah.
But so that means the tie goes to the listeners. And some of the texts we're getting in here, Ben says toll fighters is more encompassing than just Jim Ziegler. So maybe the toll fighters would be the nominee.
See, now, but so Monty says, without one, you wouldn't have the weight of the other. Jim and the tolls are one and the same.
Mm.
So I just, have this exercise in your head as you kind of put together your suggestions, mm-hmm. and you can text those in to 343-0106. Do us a favor, though. Put something on there, Alabamian of the Year or my nominee or something, because we get so many texts, and it just makes it easier as we're trying to cut and paste your entries out of the text line into the other document. Helps us find them. And if you don't do texting, you can email us. Sean, S-E-A-N, at fmtalk1065.com. Or
Dalton, D-A-L-T-O-N, at fmtalk1065.
But put something in the subject line that says Alabamian of the Year or mm-hmm. nominee or something like that. It just helps us with the clerical side of this gig.
And then the tough work this weekend goes to me because I have to seed these. You know, in the March Madness tournament, you've got the teams that come in ranked. So I've got to rank. And right now, the Toll Fighters or whatever we decide on there, that will... For instance, that will be a number one seed. And then you mentioned Kay Ivey. I mean, she had a lot to do with the state news cycle.
Well, I'm thinking, but see, Governor Ivey would be separate from the gas tax entry, or would it? That's what I'm going back to the other one. Do you combine these? And maybe we do end up combining them just to have more entries.
Here was a really good one. Rod Bramblett.
Yeah.
Nominated
Absolutely.
For Alabamian of the Year.
Absolutely.
Outstanding nomination.
Yeah. Very good nomination. So, yeah, keep them coming. We'll put them in the list. And by the end of this month, we'll know the Alabamian of the Year. All right, 8:46. Be right back. Funny how language changes. We talked about Webster had the word of the year.
Yeah.
Came out.
They did.
They is the word of the year.
That's correct.
They. But I think about what Kane said there. The Palooza Elf Crawl. Think about my father. Father's in his 80s. If I tonight go by Mom and Dad's house and say, Dad, you know, there's some things going on around town this weekend. They're having... Now, picture my father looking at me as I say, Dad, they're having a Palooza Elf Crawl in Loda. Just picture me looking at Dad. You know my dad, right?
Yeah.
Picture me looking at Dad and say, well, Dad, you know, it's a Palooza Elf Crawl in Loda.
I don't even think he says
Dad
anything.
Would ask me to leave the house. He'd say, son, you've been out since you were 17. Get out of my house and stay out. Palooza Elf Crawl.
Did we ever break the record?
In Loda. I don't know. I think we did.
Okay.
I think we did. I think. I don't really afraid. I know it's like there's things. My son is obsessed with Guinness World Book of Records stuff, and I kind of was too when I was a kid. I remember at the book fair, I'd have to get like some real books. My parents would make me get like real books that taught you something.
Uh-huh.
But then you could get the fun book.
Yeah.
And they got the Guinness World Book of Records each year, and looking like, oh, dude with the longest fingernails, tallest person ever, you know, all that stuff.
Yeah, watch out for, I guess, drinking elves with the, at the Palooza drink crawl.
Kane just said Palooza. He didn't say, he just said Palooza, elf crawl. Palooza, elf crawl in Loda. I'm just picturing me telling my parents that. That'd be a good thing. Yeah, you know, this texter said the nominee, the guy that persevered to find the Clotilda. Okay, that's Ben Rains. So,
right.
So Ben Rains is on our list. And that was another question. I think Hal had texted in about that, too. I don't know. This goes back to this is the heavy lifting we have to do. Is Ben Rains an entry and the finding of the Clotilda an entry, or is that one?
Mm-hmm.
You could argue, okay, it's Ben Rains, Clotilda is one. And just like people are saying, it's Jim Ziegler and Tolles as well. And we probably will have to do that because we end up getting so many nominations.
Yeah.
I want to make sure we can get as many in the 32 seeds.
Right. And, I've got some other nominees here. Let me run through a couple of these I was going back through the stacks and stacks of podcasts, which you can do at FMTalk1065.com.
We use them just like you, by the way. You can go look through the library. You can subscribe, or you can go to our webpage and look back and see all those hours of podcasts waiting for you.
So Live Oaks. The removal of the Live Oaks.
Okay.
Not
yes.
sure that reaches the standard we're going for right now, but that was a big event. The Bienville Square porta potties that were on fire during Mardi Gras in February. That was a ground shaking story to me earlier this year. Actually, a real one. The Alabama earthquakes. Remember, we had so many in a row.
Yeah, Dr. Beebe, we need to get him back on anyway.
Mama June was in the news. Remember that?
She got busted with drugs.
Crack rock. That's right.
In
Tuskegee.
It obviously has not worked for the weight loss.
Oh, no, it hasn't. Bob Gripp. Remember, he announced his retirement.
Absolutely. So we've got two big guys. We've got Mel Showers and Bob Gripp both retiring.
Mm-hmm. Bruce Pearl was nominated, Rod Bramlett. And here's a personal nomination. Mr. Road Rage, or just Road Rage in general. Delwyn Knight. Remember, he was in the news quite a bit earlier this year for some road rage situations.
Did
ever
play the song?
I don't know if we ever did. The remix.
The remix of the...
My record tell it all. These folks messing with me.
I put this song together a long time ago.
But they said I'm harassing folks. I'm just not no crazy.
Because this came from the first. This came for the first time, right? This was 2018, but he was back in road rage trouble in 2019.
That's correct.
No, I'm a good guy. I'm very successful. Uh-huh. You see what I'm driving? It's like these people be judging me, then make me do stuff, and then react in a way like I'm
I thought I was going to drop this hit trap on track on SoundCloud. Y'all didn't know I mix rap songs? I do. Here we go. Here's where I drop the beat.
Like I'm threatening them, I haven't arrested anyone. It's just road rage.
Okay, that's a little taste
tease.
Of the 3 minute, no, the 3 minute and 10 second track.
I mean, the man had flow. Say what you want about him. Also, lots of road rage.
Yes. So there you go. That's also in the mix. All right. So keep them coming on the text line and the emails. And as we go through this week, we'll get all your nominations in. Then we'll start seeding brackets, and you get to vote and decide who will be Alabamian of the Year. All right. To the phones at 343-0106, and David is in Mobile. David.
Hey, Sean. Hey, Dalton. I got a couple of suggestions for combinations here. In the Mobile bracket, I think you could combine annexation and the supermajority on the city council.
Yeah, that's because I have annexation in there already, but yeah, that could be a combo. You're right.
And then, of course, you know, I nominated Sean Tudor earlier, but you could combine him with the other fallen Leos in Alabama. I think we're up to 6 this year.
That's right.
So we could have them all in one category, you know, maybe fallen Leos and Sean Tudor.
That's you're on it, because that's actually been a nominated category, so that one's in.
I think you're going to have to go fact-check the world record on the Alpha Palooza thing, because I don't think we've actually gotten the record.
So we keep trying. But
embarrassing.
But not accomplishing it.
Exactly.
Okay, thank you, David. I love my city. You know, I'm the biggest homer from Mobile, Alabama there is. But I also hopefully can be fair here. If we can't, and maybe we have hit the record, I'll look down and there'll be 10 emails here. Sean, If we're consistently not getting the world record for the most people dressed as elves, then we need to stop. Okay, if we got to go year after year, we just stop. Stop. Either you get it and get it. It's like they don't call for a vote in Washington. I talk about this, right? Or in Montgomery. When they call for a vote, that means they have the votes. They don't just call and go, oh, surprise, people are going to vote or not. So, same thing. We should have it assembled and have the people with the elf ears on all ready to go and counted. And if we don't have the number of people to come out and do it, just not do it.
Yeah, you got to RSVP.
Yeah, I mean, just if we're not going to. I mean, just don't keep trying.
You know, last year they were trying to break that record, and the number would have to be, you'd have to hit 1,800 elves. And I'm not sure, I never saw anything afterwards that said we broke the record, but 1,800 is what we were going for.
That's the number of elves.
That's right.
Just picture me going by to see my dad and say, Dad, this weekend. So, it's a Palooza Elf Bar Crawl in Loda. Picture that look. All right, we'll be back at noon for Midday Mobile. Mike Gallagher Show next. Yeah, let it flow. We'll let my jam go.
You know why they didn't do anything then? But now it's like they trying to make me look bad when it's already something on me. Like, that's just terrible.
Well, what they're saying is that they thought they were isolated incidents, and then when they saw it on TV...
I'm not no bad guy.